All right. We will have, you know, special speaker next week, and then Lord willing, we will get into a new study for the new year. But today, I just want to do kind of a one-off, or just do something themed for the new year. So I invite you to turn with me to Philippians 3, if you would. Philippians chapter 3. But just this weekend, just out of curiosity, I went on to Google and punched in some things, and that can be helpful, it can be dangerous. But I went to Google and I punched in most common New Year's resolutions. Found some interesting things. But I've got a list here. I mean, it's not 100% authoritative, but I thought it was kind of interesting, of the top 10 most common New Year's resolutions. I thought I'd let you guys guess. What do you think some of them are? Lose weight, number one, okay? What's another one? Go on a diet, lose weight, eat better. Yeah, those are all related. Yep. Stop smoking. That's number two. Yes, on a lot of the lists. What's another? Yes, make more money, get a better job, those kinds of things. Save more, spend less, that kind of thing. What are some others? We got the easy ones. We got the low-hanging fruit. Exercise, which is often, you know, a corollary, but yeah, exercise better. Any think of anything else off the top of your head? Find true love, okay? Or in some cases, you know, let go of toxic relationships, that kind of thing. Yes, you know. Well, that's the way it's phrased on these lists. But yes, find true love. Okay, I like the way Joe said it better. All right, read more, watch less television. You know, things like that. Get organized. Learn a new skill. Okay, those are things that are on the top 10 list. Live life to the fullest, whatever that means. Okay? I mean, I know how I would define it, but I'm curious how this guy from GoSkills.com would define that, you know? But anyway, those are some of the top. What? Okay, we could give a definition of what is a New Year's resolution. And we can talk about that a little bit, but, you know, from a cynic's standpoint, let me give you my cynic's definition of a New Year's resolution, but I think there's some truth in it. A New Year's resolution is things that you know you ought to be doing, that you haven't been doing, that you say you're going to start doing, and you may or may not actually do it. Is that pretty close? Okay. Most of the time, occasionally it's, okay, I need to get going on this, whether it's I need to get going on my project, or I need to get going on finding a new job or a new hobby, or, okay, if I'm ever going to find true love, I actually have to talk to people. Oh, no, wait a minute, there's apps for that now. No, we're not doing that. But, you know, sometimes it's, all right, I got to get kick-started on the program. But in many cases, it's, okay, maybe now's the time to start doing what I know I should have been doing already, and I haven't been doing it. But if it is simply a New Year's resolution for the tradition of it, you ever wonder where those things originate? Well, the infallible source of wisdom, Wikipedia, which, by the way, it's an online encyclopedia that literally anybody with a computer can add to. So don't, you know, take it as authoritative as the Bible or even as the newspaper, whatever authority that holds. But, you know, there. The background of a New Year's resolution, it's kind of interesting. It makes some connections to ancient, you know, rituals back in the time of the Roman Empire or other points in history. In some cases, it makes some religious connections. But anyway, what is the point of a New Year's resolution? Why do you make it? Or do you? Just out of curiosity, how many of you made a New Year's resolution, whether you told anybody about it or not? Okay, that's what I thought. Probably a few, now, and maybe for some of the reasons we've discussed. Maybe because, okay, what's the point? But it's a very common topic around this time of year, right? Well, whether it's this is my New Year's resolution, or usually when you get around family for the holidays, it's more like, let me tell you what your New Year's resolution needs to be, right? That kind of thing. But while a New Year's resolution may or may not have a great success rate, in fact, a study by the University of Bristol involving 3,000 people, so decent sample size, a few years ago said that 88% of those who set New Year's resolutions fail. despite the fact that over half of them, 52%, were confident at the beginning that they were going to do it this time. This was going to happen. Okay? Here's the interesting thing to me. It's the reasons for, the reasons for why did it fail? Why did it fall through? And we'll talk about that, in a little bit, but, just in brief, basically it was either unrealistic goals or not keeping track of it. Okay? But I want to take now and make an application to us from Philippians chapter 3 on, let me say it this way, what term should we use, or what would be a biblical term? Is that the idea or a principle of making a resolution, is that a biblical concept? All right? Is it, it's tradition in parts of the world, but is there any sort of biblical precedent for it? At New Year, okay, but is there a principle for that? I would submit to you in Philippians 3, we definitely would see this principle. You got to Philippians 3. Let's read from verse number 4, and we'll read a large section, then we'll go back and make some comments on it. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What is this? It's Paul's resume. It's Paul speaking. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So I want to look at it from this standpoint, biblical principles for setting goals. All right, we see the term goal, or what that a concept in verse number 14. I press toward the mark. The term mark there means goal or destination for the prize, that idea of prize or reward, okay? I'm headed for a target, and the idea of prize is the idea of purpose. There's a reward or there's a purpose. So I have a goal and a purpose for setting that goal, okay? Why would people set a goal of losing weight? Well, usually that happens at New Year's because the holidays is a time of extra food and extra goodies and maybe a little extra guilt about what I've been eating over the last couple weeks, right? Maybe I'm going to get a new job, or I'm going to improve my finances, okay? I look at my situation and say, all right, here's what needs to change and what can I do, what steps can I take? But the idea of New Year's resolutions is connected with the idea of goals. But I submit to you that if we use the terminology goal, it'd be a better mindset for you and me. Okay? This word prize, the mark is the goal or the end line for the prize, for the reward. But rather than saying, oh, I'm going to have resolutions, I do think it's biblical for us to say, I have goals. Okay? But in order for a goal to be realistic, it must be defined and it must be measurable. Goals that are not written down are just wishes, right? A goal that is undefined, right? How I'm going to do better this year at fill in the blank. Well, how will you know if you hit the mark or not? Okay? Goals, in order, just from a practical standpoint, in order to be realistic, they need to be defined and they need to be measurable. Okay? So instead of saying, I want to lose weight this year, right? I want to lose a pound a month. All right, that's measurable. I can check that, right? And if I lose 12 to 15 pounds at the end of the year, most everybody would be happy with that, right? But that would be measurable. Okay, I want to eat better. How do I know if I do that or not? I didn't track what I ate last year. How do I know if what I eat this year is better or not? Okay, well, can I mark, okay, I'm going to eat salad, or I'm going to eat fruits and vegetables, or I'm going to avoid this or that? Sure, but a goal is much more effective, you know, when it's measurable. Okay, I'm going to read this year. Okay, read what? Read the paper, read the comics, you know, read websites, read a book. I'm going to read 3 books this year, read 30 books this year. I had one friend that said they were going to read like 50 books last year or something like that. Like, well, if it means the Bible, I can do that, you know. But, you know, it's measurable. But this idea of a mark or a prize or a target has the idea of a goal. But what are some biblical principles on goal setting? Well, number one, we see here from the example of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, we see that past credentials are unimportant. Okay? My past credentials or my past accomplishments aren't necessarily going to attain my spiritual goals for 2020. Right? Which, you know, this is the year, if you ever want to talk about having a vision for a year, having 2020 vision, this would be the time, right? I hope that's not what Pastor's given this morning, but I didn't ask him about it. But anyway, you know, if whatever my goal is, whatever my plans are for 2020, relying on past accomplishments are not going to accomplish those goals. What did Paul say? Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, verses 4, 5, and 6, he listed his resume. In verse 5, he gives his Jewish resume. His upbringing had followed the law to a T. As touching the law, the last phrase says, a Pharisee. Now, we understand some of who the Pharisees were, and when we use that term that someone is a Pharisee, what does that mean? They're very particular about something. In the Bible times, the Pharisees were very particular about their version of the Old Testament law, which Jesus told them over and over again, you've added to it, you've changed it, it's not what God really meant. But they were very, very particular. So he said, look, you want to talk about keeping the law? I was a Pharisee. We know in other places he was raised at the foot of Gamaliel. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. When God met Paul what we would call his salvation time, probably, that they're on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to do what? He had gotten letters authorizing him to persecute the church and throw people into prison and kill them and basically put them out of business. So he was a Jew's Jew. He was very religious. He was very zealous, not just one of those people that says they're religious but they don't do anything about it. I mean, from that standpoint, he had a fantastic resume, right? The end of verse 6 is kind of amusing to me. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. From his perspective, he was keeping the law. Now, we know that the book of James says, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Okay? But from Paul's perspective, I am a religious man. I'm, you know, upstanding. But then, in verse 7, what things were gained to me, that word gain has the idea of wages or increase. Or, if I could say it this way, profit. That which profited me, what things were gained to me, that which profited me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, it's worthless. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The end of verse 8, I do count them but dung. Okay? It's a very, you know, blunt and yet, you know, polite way of giving, all right, here's my estimation of that. It is on the level of dung. We did a project this week, building a rather large doghouse for our German Shepherd. And, there's kind of a section of the yard where he usually does his thing, right? Well, I, without thinking, I was cutting some plywood. Without thinking, when I was done with it, I just flipped it off on the ground to cut the next piece. Then when I went to pick it back up, some of his business was on my plywood. Let me tell you what, you know how much I thought of it at that point? I wasn't thinking highly of it. Okay, it's not something that's valued, not something I want to hang on to, not something that I want to brag about. In other words, it is of the lowest value to me. Paul said, you know, my resume is equal to that. Okay, all of my impressive statistics that I could put out. You know, it's kind of interesting to look at resumes. And you know, you may do that for work. It's kind of, there's different theories and philosophies on them too. One of the prevailing theories is a resume ought to be one page. Get the most important stuff, put it on one page, because that's probably all the HR person's going to look at anyway, unless you make it to the next round. Okay? But there's some resumes that are 5 pages deep, and you know, if you know, you've never met this person, you'd think they hung the moon and helped God design it, you know, based on the way they present themselves on their resume. It's quite interesting. Paul said, here's my resume. It matters about that much to me. So if I'm going to attain spiritual goals in the future, past credentials are unimportant. See, in one sense, Paul could say, look, here's my credentials. But now, who's he writing to in the book of Philippians? Is he writing to Jews? What group? This group of believers was organized into what we would call what? Church. Okay, wasn't meant to be a trick question. Okay. But in verse number 6, what does he say? Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Would Paul consider that an accomplishment? Or would he consider that a failure? I submit to you that that could be just as easily and probably should just as easily be viewed as a failure. You know what? My past accomplishments don't matter, but past failures don't matter either. Okay? As far as looking forward and trying to see how can I grow in the Lord, what can I do for the Lord this year, past accomplishments aren't going to help me, but past failures don't have to hinder me. And there's two ways of looking at that. Okay? We can look at it and say, oh yeah, well, because of this, then I'm automatically going to succeed. Or we can say, well, because of all the failures I've had, I'll never succeed. Both of those mindsets need to be set aside. The past credentials are unimportant. Verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That is to know Christ, not to have a knowledge that makes me a theological encyclopedia, but rather to have a personal knowledge of Christ, to have a relationship with Him, to know Him. Okay, that's expressed further on in the passage. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That term excellency has the idea of being superior, being above and beyond. You know, if you threw this question out at your Christmas gatherings, you know, what is the best, fill in the blank, you know, what is the best cookware? What is the best vehicle you've ever had? What is the best computer? What is the best cell phone? You know, what is the best car you've ever had? You can get all kind of opinions, right? That's the idea of excellency or superiority. What is superior to everything else? The excellency or the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what Paul viewed as the best, to know Christ. And be found in Him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So yeah, at first it sounds like he's listing his resume in verse number 4, 5, and 6. But then when he talks about not having the righteousness of the law, in verse 6 he said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now he's saying, yeah, that's not worth much. I found out God's standard is much higher than the righteousness of the law. He said, now my goal is to be found in Him, in Christ, having the righteousness that is of God by faith. Now, you know, I could fill in names here. Can you be the Apostle Paul? Or can you have the same credentials that he had, educated at the feet of the premier teachers, and you know, being a writer and being a world traveler? Maybe not. But Paul said, that's not important. This is important. Can you have the righteousness which is of God by faith. Yeah. Every one of us can have that. In that sense, we're all on equal footing, right? We can all have the righteousness which is of God by faith. Of course, what is that referring to? That's referring to salvation. That's referring to Romans chapter 5. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we are sinners by nature and by choice. And yet God sent his Son to die on behalf of us so that if we, by faith, accept his sacrifice for us, we can have the righteousness of God credited to our account through no good or work or effort of our own. The righteousness of God by faith. So if I'm going to have a biblical view on setting goals, I don't have to say past credentials are unimportant. I want you to see with me then number two. In verses 10, 11, and 12, Paul's still stating his purpose, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So what was Paul's stated goal here? Verse 8 and 9, to know him, to be found in his righteousness. Verse 10, to know the power of his resurrection and to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Most of us would do the first two. I don't know how many of us would do the last one, right? To know the fellowship of his sufferings. But Paul said, I want to know Christ. I want to know what motivated him. I want to be motivated by what Christ was, by what motivated Christ. I want to be pleasing to the Father. And so those were his goals. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I want you to see with me number two, perfection's not required. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? If perfection's required, I'm out. Right? And, you know, that's, I think, a major factor in why people sometimes, you know, throw up their hands and quit. Oh, you know, I'm a week in and I've already failed on every one of these goals. I may as well just quit now and save myself the heartache later. I'm not saying that's right, but is that not a common human nature response? Sure it is. But here, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Of course, this word perfect here has the idea of completion or maturity. Okay, just like being perfect in Christ means to be mature or complete. But if Paul, at this stage of his life, it's under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, if Paul could say, I'm not perfect, I'm not complete, then I have, if I'm being honest, I have to look at it and say, well, then I'm probably not either. Right? I mean, some of you have less life experience than me. Some of you have double the life experience that I have. I think all of us would find ourselves in the same boat. Not as though I was already attained, either already perfect. I'm not complete. I'm not completely what Christ wants me to be yet. I think we could all agree with that. But at the same time, in order to have a goal, in order to go forward and accomplish something for Christ, perfection is not required. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. What's the term apprehend mean? What would be the most likely scenario where we would use the word apprehend today? War? Okay. Yep. To capture or possibly law enforcement. I'm going to apprehend a suspect or a criminal. That's the idea of to capture. Well, to apprehend a prize is the idea of to obtain it or to lay hold on it. Just like the idea I'm going to lay hold on a convict, or in the case of war, I'm going to, you know, capture an enemy. Here, Paul says, not as though I follow after, if that I may apprehend, if I can obtain, if I can lay hold on my goals. In other words, my goal is ahead of me and I'm striving to lay hold on that. Interesting here. I love this word here in verse number 12, but I follow after. Okay, we see again a similar concept in verse number 14. I press toward the mark. All right, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I wanted to see my past accomplishments don't guarantee. You ever hear commercial for investments? And they have this little disclaimer on there, past performance is no guarantee of future results. In other words, just because we're telling you we can make you lots of money doesn't mean we won't lose all your money this year. Okay? Well, in the same sense, past performance doesn't necessarily guarantee future results. Past credentials are not important. Past failures are not disqualifying. But here, perfection's not required. Number three, then I want you to see with me, pursuit of the goal is essential. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. This word press has the idea of to run. It has the idea of to run in the sense of pursue. You ever played chase? Sure, when you're younger, we used to do it for fun. Now we do it only if we have to, right? Okay, maybe you have small kids or maybe you have grandkids. Maybe you're chasing them. Maybe it's because you're playing a little game, or maybe it's because they're headed towards the road and don't realize the danger, but I'm chasing them, I'm pursuing them. This term also, the idea of chase or pursue or press, could be the idea of pursuing an enemy. Okay, when Saul had marked David as his enemy, David's hiding, and what's Saul doing? He's pursuing. He's chasing. Okay? But it also has the idea of to persecute. Well, how in the world is that connected with these? Well, I think it's a very logical connection. Because if I'm persecuting somebody, I'm following after them. I'm chasing them. I'm on them all the time. I'm not letting them go. I am constantly wherever they are, and I'm constantly on this issue, whatever, if I'm persecuting. This idea of press, the term press, and the idea of follow after in verse 12, the idea, in other words, there's pursuit. I'm going to say pursuit of the goal. Or let me say it this way. Biblically, I can say that goals are not fulfilled passively. It's not going to happen because I set a goal and, well, we'll see at the end of the year if it happens. Okay? It's going to be because there was intent and effort. Okay? If you're going to, let's go back to our, you know, top 10 list for a minute. If I'm going to get in shape, whether that's exercise more, eat better, you know, all of the above, is that going to passively happen? No. One of the top 5 resolutions on a lot of lists that I saw was to quit smoking. Okay, is that going to passively happen if somebody's addicted to the nicotine? No. Okay, but if I have spiritual goals, if I am pursuing Christ's likeness, or if I am pursuing the ministry that Christ has placed in front of me, is that going to happen passively? No. Okay, he says, I follow after, verse 14, I press toward the mark. In other words, if I'm going to obtain spiritual goals, it's going to require the same amount of effort as if I'm playing freeze tag with my kids or capture the flag or any version of a game that requires me to chase somebody. It means effort. It means I might get tired. It means I might have to stop and catch my breath and huff and puff. But if I stop there and never start pursuing again, I'm out, right? Maybe I have to catch my breath, but maybe I'm going to go back and say, all right, I'm going to keep after this. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to press. I'm going to persecute. Chase after. But pursuing a goal is essential. What is going to be necessary to pursue the goal? Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't already obtained the goal I'm looking for. But there's two things. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Okay? The idea of reaching forth also has the idea of to stretch or to strain for. You ever, you know, drop something? You know, maybe you drop it down through the grate, drop it under the table, and you're reaching for it. Oh, I can almost get it, and you strain, you know, I'm all the way up to my shoulder, but maybe if I strain just another centimeter, I can, you know, we all do it. And spend 15 minutes instead of taking the 3 minutes it would have taken to go get the ladder or walk around, you know, the outside and pick it up, you know, doing it the common sense way doesn't make as much sense as, well, maybe if I stretch and reach just a little bit harder, you know, maybe it'll all work out. That's the idea of reaching forth. But let's go back here to the other part in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. This can mean forgetting in the sense that we would often, oh, I forgot. Okay, it slipped my mind. Okay, a good principle to live by. A short pencil is better than a long memory. Okay, write it down. Write it down. I wallpaper my desk and, you know, office with Post-it notes because that's better than forgetting. Okay, but forgetting can be then the sense of it, you know, it slipped my mind. But in many cases, and I think that's the emphasis here, the idea of forgetting has more to do with to choose not to care about it anymore. I'm going to put it out of my mind. Forgetting those things, all right, I'm neglecting that. I'm no longer caring about that. I am not going to think about that or worry about that anymore. Forgetting those things which are behind, whether it's an accomplishment, great, it's done. Whether it was a failure, okay, it's done. Forgetting those things which are behind instead of, all right, you know, I've done everything I need to do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for, straining, stretching, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I press toward the mark. The mark is the goal. So, I'm talking about principles for setting goals. Because I think all of you can fill in the blanks. What should be your goals for, you know, this year? I mean, some of them should be, I mean, it may sound cliche, but it's not. It's still important. I'm going to spend time in God's Word every day. All right, I'm going to pray on a regular basis. Okay, there are some things, I'm going to be faithful to church. There are some things that ought to be common sense, but if we go, you know, and it loses its priority, it can unintentionally slip. Okay, so those things should be on my goal list. Hey, I like things that are easy to reach, right? I can show up to church. I can do that. But what else should be my goals? Well, let me ask it this way. When I ask the question, what should be your spiritual goals for this year? What does the Spirit of God start dinging here and here? Okay? If I'm going to be Christ-like, that means that I need to know who He is and act like Him. I need to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, you can start to fill in the blanks. Well, here's an area that I know I need to grow in. This is how the Lord's working in my life. All right? And I can try to throw out a bunch of stuff, but I don't really have to do that this morning. Because the Spirit of God can work in your heart and mind exactly. All right, here's what you need to do. But when that happens, you know, am I going to say, yeah, I know I oughta? Well, then that's going to put me in the category of the 88% of people that fail at their New Year's resolutions. Okay, if I treat my spiritual goals as, well, yeah, I know it's something I should have been doing, but I haven't, and I ought to do it, so I'm going to say I'm going to, but it's not really going to become a consuming focus, then my spiritual growth is going to have about as high a success rate as New Year's resolutions, which is about an 88% failure rate. Or I can make it a goal, all right? I'm going to be more Christ-like. What does that mean? Well, maybe I should just write down some things that Christ looked like, the ways He acted, what are His characteristics? And then say, Lord, does my life look like that? Can You help me to look like this? What does the Bible have to say about meekness or boldness or, you know, going down the list? The fruit of the Spirit. I mean, what I'm saying, though, it's not a goal until it's written down, but it's not really achievable until there's a measurement. Okay? Do I see this happening in my life? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a definite prize. He knew that God had given him a ministry. You know what God's directed you to do in life? Then you need to see it through to its completion. That's what Paul was trying to do, to see it through to its completion. I'm going to finish the ministry. And he didn't say, I'm going to finish Timothy's ministry or Titus's ministry or Apollos's ministry. At the end, he said, I've run my course. I've fought my fight. I'm going to follow through on the ministry God's given me, right? But nonetheless, he had a sense of a big picture, but also if he said, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made, then he had a big picture, but also ongoing day-to-day growing in a relationship type of goals too, right? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That term prize has the idea of a reward. There is a reward. I mean, we could list the crowns that are promised to believers and future rewards. Pastor's gone through that on Wednesday nights in the study on Revelation at some point this year. We'll not go to that, but if I'm going to have a biblical perspective on setting goals, then I need to understand past credentials are not important. Perfection's not required. Pursuit of the goal is essential. Then number four, I want you to see in closing a promise of future guidance. Verse 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What is, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Okay, that's my word, mature or complete. Be thus minded means a similar mind. Similar mind to what? Well, what's just been described in the previous verses. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Let that be my mindset. I'm going to forget past accomplishments. I'm going to forget past failures. I'm going to have a goal of being Christ-like, to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's going to be my goal. And I'm going to press towards it. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to reach for that. If I have that mindset, then I have a promise in verse 15. If let us therefore as many as be perfect. If as far as you know, you are growing in Christ and you are maturing and you're trying to do what you're supposed to do, keep it up. That's what that means. Let us be thus minded. Don't let go of that. Keep it up. And then in the last phrase of verse 15, if in anything ye be otherwise minded. In other words, if I have some other thoughts or philosophies or ideas that don't line up with this mindset, if you're in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Have a promise of future guidance. In other words, if as I'm seeking the Lord, if what I'm pursuing isn't in line with what He wants, God will reveal it to me. God will show it to me. The Spirit of God knows exactly how to get your attention and mine, right? To tell me exactly, hey, you're on track, or hello, nope, you know you're not supposed to be over here. Get back over here where you're supposed to be, buddy. Right? So, do I have goals? Do you have goals? Spiritual goals. I mean, New Year's resolutions, they are what they are. I'm going to close on that thought with this. Of the survey that we mentioned, the two most common reasons for failure on New Year's resolutions, number one was unrealistic goals. Number two was not keeping track of progress. Okay? It's unrealistic to say, you know, I'm going to become president in 2020. After all, it is an election year. Okay? But it is very realistic to say I can be more like Christ. But then I'm going to have it measurable. How do I know that? Okay? Maybe I didn't track all of last year, but I can start, you know, keeping track of areas where the Lord's helping me to grow or areas He's working on me this year, right? But sit down and say, all right, Lord, here's what I want to do. Here's my goals. Now, how do I get there? How do I know if I'm on track or not? Past credentials, unimportant. Perfection is not required. Pursuing a goal is essential. And we have a promise of future guidance. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word.